It's dangerous to be an environmental activist. In the past decade, about 1,700 of them have been killed, according to one NGO. This month in northern Honduras, two activists were shot and killed in the village of Guapinol. They were protesting an iron mine, which they blame for polluting the rivers this community of farmers and fishermen rely on to survive. Let's bring in Jared Olson. He's a freelance journalist reporting on this, and he joins us from San Pedro Sula in Honduras. Hi, Jared.
Thank you so much for having me on.
First, could you tell us about Ali Dominguez and Jairo Bonilla, the men who were murdered? Why were they water activists?
Yeah, so these were, first of all, beloved men in this very small, kind of tight-knit community. You know, we're talking a small village kind of in the middle of nowhere in northern Honduras, right? And hundreds of people, maybe 1,000, came to their funeral. And neither of them was particularly politically predisposed until around 2018, when they started seeing, along with their friends, construction equipment going up into a mining concession in the national park above their village. And that mining concession was created under dubious circumstances in a late night congressional session that many people said was illegal. And when they started finally seeing the construction equipment going up, when they and everyone else started seeing the river turn to chocolate, chocolateada, they were like, we have to protest. And they were the co-founders of the Water Defenders Movement in Guapinol.
Yeah, and tell us, Jared, what that work involved, defending these water sources.
So primarily it involved direct action, right? So they, as members of this movement, took steady escalating protests to try to stop this mine, which by and large, the communities in this region were not consulted for. So at first they occupy the local mayor's office for 11 days in 2018. But when that doesn't work, they block off the dirt road going into the national park where the construction equipment is going up. In October 2018, over 1,000 Honduran military and police units descended on them with tear gas and live ammunition, killing one person and injuring numerous others. And then soon thereafter, 33 of those men were imprisoned, including Ali Dominguez. Most of them were released, but then 8 remained in jail in what many considered arbitrary imprisonment for over 2 years and were finally released.
Has there been any investigation or anything from authorities on who might be responsible for these murders?
There is a higher amount of pressure for there to be an investigation, but the thing that people need to remember is that in Honduras, over 98% of murders go uninvestigated, right? There's such high levels of impunity that's part of why violence is so common. And then in this particular case, many people are feeling a little bit cynical because the same prosecutor who oversaw what many called the arbitrary imprisonment of the 33 and then the 8 water defenders has now been charged with investigating this case. And already the police are saying that it was a robbery gone wrong, even though the families recall that they were being explicitly threatened and that nothing was stolen off of them.
It seems like a playbook that we've seen from across Latin America when huge companies come in to extract natural resources and local communities get displaced. Make the connection for us to migration, especially to the U.S.
When I first started covering this story specifically in late 2019, I was kind of surprised, but people make the explicit connection. We want to fight for this because we don't want to have to go to the U.S. And no one really wants to. I mean, maybe if you're young and you just want to see the world, right? But no one really wants to go through the deserts in Mexico, have to go through organized crime to go live in the underworld in the U.S. They like their lives. They like their communities. And it's an explicit part of their discourse to defend their waterways, to be like, we want to defend this river so that we don't have to leave. And there's an explicit connection because ever since this project has started, some sources have indicated that up to 1/3 of the entire community has left Guapinol, either because of violence or threats.
Has the U.S. government had any response? Because I remember a few years ago, Jared, there was a lot of talk about the U.S. helping to address the root causes of migration. Could U.S. support here on behalf of communities trying to stay on their land be an example of people not having to migrate and show up at the U.S. border?
Yeah, definitely. The U.S. ambassador in this case has, you know, condemned this, which is, you know, this does not always happen because there are hundreds of murders of environmental land and water defenders in Honduras that go unnoticed largely by the international community, right? Many would say that one of the things that needs to be done that the U.S. could do is it needs to help push for accountability for the corrupt state security forces, the military and police units that are implicated in repressing these communities on behalf of corrupt business interests, right? And unfortunately, the U.S. continues to support these units, even though there is clear evidence that they are tied up with murder, assassination, torture, repression.
And we will keep watching this to see if there's any accountability for the murders of Ali Dominguez and Jairo Bonilla in Honduras. Jared Olson is a freelance journalist, and you can see his reporting on this issue at Al Jazeera. Jared, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.